Pal. Yo, pal, you got a minute?
I'm here, John.
Listen, man, I'm starting to get a bad feeling up here. I want you to do something for me. I want you to find my wife. Don't ask me how. By then, you'll know how. I want you to tell her something. I want you to tell her that... It took me a while to figure out what a jerk I've been. But, that when things started to pan out for her, I should have been more supportive. And, I just should have been behind her more. Tell her that that she is the best thing that ever happened to a bum like me. She's heard me saying I love you 1,000 times. She never heard me say I'm sorry. And I want you to tell her that, Al. I want you to tell her that John said that he was sorry. Okay? You got that, man?
Yeah, I got it, John. But you can tell her that yourself. You just watch your ass and you'll make it out of there, you hear me?
Well, I guess that's up to the man upstairs.
John? John?
Hello, yes, yes. Time for wrestling again. I'm going to get that over. I'm getting it over. A very merry baby oil and blow to every last one of you MFers out there. It is your boy, the big O, baby, with me, my guy. He's going to be the Steve Austin. Yeah. Either way, it don't matter. One of us is Steve Austin. One of us is Flying Brian Pillman.
Oh, cool.
But this guy right here, he's Nate Adams.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. And a very Merry Christmas to you. That's right.
Yeah.
We're saying Merry Christmas again. I don't know if you motherfuckers got the memo out there.
Yeah.
All y'all motherfuckers.
Jesus is back.
War on Christmas
no
bullshit.
No more birthdays.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is that James Hetfield?
That is a, it's a remake of a, I want to say, Wayne and Dan Hogan classic.
Oh, okay.
Which was originally entitled Jesus is Dead. Mm-hmm. No more birthdays.
And then they had to change it probably once he came back.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Kind of like a Garage Days Reloaded or whatever that Metallica shit is.
Kind of what Christmas is all about. Jesus is having more birthdays, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You can't stop it. All you libtards out there that are sick of Jesus having birthdays, too bad.
That's what he does.
Too bad.
He's like the Phoenix.
He's back.
He just keeps coming
back. White people are going to be back on top all the time, just like our white friend Jesus.
Oh.
Don't be jealous.
Yeah.
This is what Christmas is about.
That's what Christmas is about.
Why turn our backs on it?
That the miracle of that white man being born in the middle of a desert.
Absolutely.
In the Middle East.
He's like, hey, white people, follow me. And people say they were Jews. They weren't Jews.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Come on.
It was probably also, I imagine it took place someplace in the southern United States, these stories. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I believe in the Bible and like all this shit, but you can't take it literally, like word for word.
Yeah.
It's metaphors.
Yeah.
Like the Fertile Crescent, that's not like Iran and Iraq. That's
a woman's womb.
Probably like Alabama, Mississippi, somewhere around there.
So you're
maybe
saying
maybe in one of the Carolinas. I don't know. It could have been in one of the Carolinas.
You saying that Jesus was like, by the end of tonight, after the bell rings three times or whatever, however it goes, he's like, Davy Crockett, you will betray me. And he's like, what? Jesus, no, I love you so much.
Everybody was sitting at that NWA board of directors table. He called it out. He knew that somebody was going to turn their... And it was Flair when he went up north, quite frankly.
Tully Blanchard was trying to get in that whole time because he had a lot of grievances with that whole,
so many grievances.
Board of commissioners. Ugh.
So yeah,
but we're not talking NWA today, are we?
No, we're definitely not. We're not talking Christmas time. It just naturally brought me there because all those biblical stories happen in the southern United States. I'm nearly sure of it. When I picture that little manger that Jesus was born in, you got Mary, American name by the way, Joseph, another American name.
Joe?
Big surprise.
Yeah,
I'm picturing above that manger. Probably they were flying a rebel flag, I would assume.
Well, duh.
I mean,
these colors don't run. Stars and bars, son.
I don't. My Bible's not an illustrated Bible. I wish it was. Those are nice to read. But in my head, when I picture it, stars and bars flying everywhere.
Right next to a don't tread on me flag.
Man, they were getting tread on, too. That's part of the whole story.
That's one of the worst things in the story. And that was one of the biggest tattoos that Joseph has.
Uh-huh.
It was the one that said, don't tread on me, bro.
And that other one that said, no taxation without representation.
Yeah.
That's a different part of the Bible. We're not talking the Bible. We're talking primetime wrestling.
What about his no fat chicks tattoo?
Ah, no. That was Pontius Pilate.
Oh, that's right.
Don't be putting this shit on Jesus.
Joe loved the fat chick.
Primetime wrestling.
Primetime.
The holiday special, December 23rd, 1986. That's the same year we were doing, but it jumped ahead a few months to make it holiday appropriate.
Get used to
it's
it.
A little bit more fun. A little bit more fun to do holiday stuff around the holidays is what we thought. I don't know. Sue us. It's not chronological. It's big whoop. Get over
big
it.
Big deal.
Get over yourselves. It's Christmas. You're supposed to be thinking about other people.
Yeah, D's nuts. I don't know how that plays.
Yeah, I know it's Christmas.
How?
It's not global warming and shit, so it's not cold out or nothing. It's still pretty warm. There's no snow on the ground or anything. You look outside, you can't really tell it's Christmas. But you look on the internet, and there's virgins everywhere complaining about a new Star Wars movie. That's how you know that it's Christmas
time. Yeah, that's the new way we're celebrating it.
There are people who have never seen a boob up in arms about a Star Wars movie and all the little things about it that they weren't too big of a fan of that's... pretty much just ended their worlds. It's probably Christmas time.
It wasn't the greatest Star Wars movie. It wasn't a bad Star Wars movie either. Get over it.
Santa's going to be there.
Yeah.
And there's going to be Star Wars toys.
And Santa's got porgs, yo.
There's plenty of porgs for everybody to buy.
That's right.
You get a porg. You get a porg.
Don't give them to chew.
I thought the porgs were fun.
They were a good time, man. They're just messing stuff up, having a laugh.
Rapscallions.
Yeah, that's all.
What's not to like?
Yeah. Didn't make you pay as much attention to them as they did, the Ewoks and stuff.
No, they're
just here's a thing.
It's not like they talked all the time, like a Jar Jar. Get over yourselves, dorks. Porgs were fine.
Cram it, internet.
Ugh.
Oh, man.
Our big hosts, Bobby Heenan, Gorilla Monsoon, as per usual. Not as per usual, though. We got Christmas trees on the set.
We got presents
on the desk.
How much do you think those Christmas trees cost? Because those were straight out of Connecticut.
Yeah, I was going to say, those
Douglas firs.
You got Connecticut prices. Everything's more expensive over there on the coast.
I'm saying there had to be about $800 to $850 Christmas tree budget.
I feel like they dropped a few grand on Christmas decorations.
Yeah? Oh, you're saying, wow, a couple grand overall.
I mean, they had those presents on there. They had that weasel doll. They had the gorilla doll.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta have pages out there running around finding this stuff. That shit's not cheap.
That was badass.
That shit's not cheap.
There's gotta be one of you yahoos on Etsy that makes those. Hit us up. We want one. And we're not gonna pay for it.
On Etsy.
We're not paying for that.
Bobby kept trying to hawk Bobby Heenan action figure that we always have sitting right next to us here as we record.
He'd be more than happy to know that as he watches over us.
Doing us good. Two thumbs up. It has two thumbs up. That's the pose it's in, is what I meant.
Yeah, totally.
Not two thumbs up to the toy. It's just rubber brick, essentially, that you can't really move around or do anything with. So
it's the classic LJN wrestling figure.
Not a very good toy. They were making very good toys back there in the 80s.
It was LJN that made this guy. I want to see.
You could hit your siblings over the head with them and give them a concussion, but you couldn't do much actual posing them or wrestling with them.
Titan Sports. Kind of a problem. They had the giant ring that these all fit in.
Oh,
do you remember
I had that?
That
giant ring for sure, man.
And you could catapult them into the ring.
I'd set it up right next to the stairs, so it was extra dangerous. If you got like clotheslined over the one side, you'd go all the way down the stairs to your death.
Ooh.
I was like, they should incorporate this somehow into real wrestling. Yeah, it's a very exciting idea.
You had some real TNA gimmick matches going on.
I don't know why it takes a kid like me to come up with ideas like this. These people should be getting paid for this stuff, quite frankly.
Did you create TNA?
Didn't create TNA, but you know, I feel like maybe like a CZW is probably like an offshoot of things that I was doing back when I was 5 years old playing on the steps.
A little CZW, Nate.
I got some bad news.
What happened?
That check bounced this week.
Oh.
Coming from Stifler over there.
Oh, Jesus.
Been paying for this segment right here. It's supposed to be a branded segment.
Oh, God.
So, you know, we're not going to have one this week. But last minute, I did some calls around to see if there's anybody.
Please tell me you got a hold of somebody.
Good news. Ben Affleck. He called me back. He sent us a check. This year, we're doing the Reindeer Games Roundup.
Wow.
It's a little recap here. Little recap of everything happening on this primetime wrestling episode.
It's like it's like that famous movie called Ben Affleck Saves Christmas Again.
Fire up your computers, everybody, and give that Reindeer Games a rent. I bet you haven't watched that in a few years, and you're going to want to. It's a
forever
solid film.
You do that.
Frankenheimer might
maybe
have
do
it.
That.
He's
with
a real
back,
talent.
You do like a back to back double feature with maybe Paycheck.
I could see doing that.
Yeah. I'm spitballing. I'm just spitballing.
It's the holidays. You got a lot of free time on your hands. You got to do something. All right, we'll get into this Reindeer Games recap right here. Our first match of the evening on this primetime wrestling. We got Jimmy Jack Funk, the Masked Funk, versus Black Jack Mulligan, the old cowboy. Mulligan wins after a reverse flying elbow, which, you know, he was still doing, even though he was probably 80 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
Special Delivery Jones is in our second match.
SD Jones.
He's in there versus our man, Iron Mike Sharp, best wrestler on the roster. Unfortunately, you know.
Canada's greatest athlete.
He's eating the pin, even though he's Canada's greatest athlete. What's that say for Canada? Special Delivery Jones ends with a backslide.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little backslide. Technical wrestling. You know, that's how he does it.
Mm-hmm.
Harley Race versus Pedro Morales.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of legends.
Thing.
Battle of the Old Guys, Matt. Two old guys going at it.
I got a lot of notes on that one.
Race pins him with his feet up on the ropes. After this, we got an interlude where Ebenezer Piper is visited by three Christmas spirits.
A lot.
And
his dead tag partner.
They're trying to stop him from being so greedy and mean. Results of that match, they fail. And he stays greedy by the end of it, even though it was 3-on-1. Piper goes over clean. He's getting pushed hard. After that, we're back to regular wrestling. Dirty Dick Slater.
Yeah.
He's not Dirty Dick here. He's just the Rebel
Slater.
They got him being like a generic face for some reason. Mm-hmm. He's in there against Steve Lombardi, the once and future past Brooklyn Brawler.
He's a future man.
Slater wins after an underhook suplex. Crowd goes mild. Canadian strongman Dino Bravo. He's in there with everybody's favorite Patriot hero, Corporal
Camo
Kirshner,
Carl.
A.K.A. Camouflage Carl. Camouflage Carl takes his eyes off his opponent like a dum-dum. He takes a knee to the back and then a little backdrop, and he gets pinned. Guess America needs to dump this guy and find a new hero, quite frankly. He's not making us look good. Adrian Adonis, the adorable one. He's in there with JYD, the Junkyard Dog, and these men are animals. They just go outside and
whoop it up,
just brawl it up, and
just
then
whoop it up.
You know, JYD gets in right at the 10 count. That means Adrian Adonis loses by count out.
Bullshit.
He was furious. He was furious.
I was too.
After this, we get a special dropped in Hulk Hogan match coming at us from a Saturday night's main event. Nice little treat. We got the A-lister here on the C-list show. He's fighting Hercules Hernandez, and of course, as we all know, he wins with the leg drop. Big leg, because Hogan must pose, everybody. Hogan must pose.
Send the fans home happy.
That's it. We done. End of the episode. Now let's break it down a little
bit.
Let's
move on to the
let's
three.
Let's discuss it into a segment we call the five count, motherfucker.
We'll
try to skip ahead to the three
we gotta
count.
We've got
to kill a lot
stuff.
More time. Gotta like hit an hour, or it's not a real podcast. Right,
yeah, no,
real
I
podcasts
guess.
Hit an hour.
I guess.
Well, the ones I listen to.
Yeah.
I don't listen to other podcasts.
I listen to one podcast, and it's a little arty. It just
sounds terrible.
It describes one woman per episode in graphic detail about their naked
jeez
form.
That's degrading.
No, it's tasteful. No, it's tasteful. It's a little highbrow. It's a little Frasier.
He's sad about people.
It's a little Frasier.
Frasier hosts a podcast?
Yeah.
He's just rating women's naked bodies?
She was a particularly breathtaking woman.
What about it? Is Roz on there with him?
No, she'd be like, I'm the down-to-earth, blue-collar, feminist voice.
Podcast probably needs that.
Oh, Roz, get over yourself. I said she was a very flattering and attractive woman. Oh,
wow. I think maybe.
And then Niles walks in, and he's like, oh, dear. Oh.
You can't have Niles on the podcast.
I only like Daphne.
He's going to get nervous. He's not going to be able to talk on mic. It's going to be disturbing.
To me, in my head right now, my Frasier and Niles impersonations sound great.
All right, what is it, Niles? It's about Sabrina. She's a prostitute. Frasier, I don't like lawyers any more than you do.
What's your number one?
How about a quick
what?
Toast to a fallen comrade?
Okay, somebody died?
Yeah, the Z-Man.
Oh, Tom Zink? He's in the ground?
Yeah.
He's dead and in the ground?
As of December 9th.
You know what?
Dead in the ground.
It's a shame to hear it. I always want to hear it's a tragedy, especially, you know, he's not old enough to be dead. He probably had much more living to do, but I bet he's going to make an attractive corpse.
Mm.
I bet he made a very attractive corpse at that funeral.
People just kept passing by that casket, being like, God, I haven't seen the Z-Man in years. He looks great.
Let's toast over this. Chin chin. That is great. One attractive dead body.
To the Z-Man.
Huh. Goes out to him.
Gone, but not ugly.
Okay, are you ready now?
Yeah, I got a number one.
Now that you made me sad, let's go back into this Christmas-themed episode. Jesus.
Yeah, I got a...
Ho, ho, ho.
Christmas is ghosts of Christmas past. People die. That's what it's all about.
I wasn't expecting scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of wrestling long, long ago, but... We are. It's the most wonderful time of the year, so I guess that's tradition.
It's my ghost noises.
They were very spooky, Matt.
My number one is I gotta jump to SD Jones versus Iron Mike Sharp.
Okay.
You got anything that goes before that you want to talk about?
Not really. We'll just go back and forth. It doesn't matter.
Works for me. I liked the match. Why? Because Iron Mike Sharp was in it. And that's all that mattered to me.
That's all it takes.
And it didn't matter who he was wrestling.
But I like Special Delivery Jones.
Fired
up babyface.
We do like SD Jones.
I don't really get why throughout this whole match, Gorilla was ragging him on commentary, saying that he didn't have a killer instinct and couldn't get shit done.
They were calling him fat.
Yeah, like what did this guy do in the locker room to be getting buried by the commentary?
Something happened.
He's fun to watch in the ring.
Even old Kenny Resnick agreed, and he was like, yeah, he looks fat, Gorilla. Yeah.
What's Kenny Resnick done in this business? Fucking nothing.
Nothing.
Keep your mouth shut, loser.
You shut your face, Resnick.
Lucky Special Delivery Jones didn't roll him up for a pin.
Yeah, you know how he's missing that divot of back fat? Because he got stabbed.
Is that what happened?
You think he's afraid? I don't know. I just assume. I mean, it looks like
he's
got
a divot in his back. It's probably a stab wound.
Yeah.
Maybe he got a kidney out.
Even my girlfriend was like, why is he missing part of his back?
Well, because he got stabbed.
He's from the West Indies, man. He got stabbed.
Shit goes down there.
Yeah, jeez.
There's a lot of murders in the spice trade.
Those hoopleheads from Boston, they were really letting old Mike Sharp have it.
Well, you got to him. He's a very belligerent Canadian. He's from a different country, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, he's coming out there hollering at them about how good he is. People in Boston don't like to hear about success, man.
Yeah,
they want everybody to be as miserable as they are.
That's bunch of losers.
What happens in that town? And if you think you're gonna like try something, you're gonna like maybe get out of your neighborhood or like get a big promotion down at the whatever. They're like, nah, man, you're just fucking Boston like us. Come back down to the corner pub and get drunk on cheap fucking beer and stop dreaming. Stop
by the harbor.
Dreams.
Yeah, have a fucking Sammy
You'll be
Adams.
Working at the harbor your whole life. You're a loser.
Sammy Adams, bro.
Oh, we can't afford Sammy Adams. I just did all the Christmas shopping.
Oh.
What are you, retarded?
PBI.
I can see that going down.
It's
going
to be good.
I don't know what they drink in Boston.
I don't really know either, and I don't want to find out.
People, and I'm sure whatever they're drinking is stupidly gross. I would never want to be around that.
Just the worst.
Ugh.
Town full of losers. Mike Sharp was pulling out of there to win. Well, that's all I got for that match.
Okay. Yeah, that was going to be one of mine, too. I just liked how mostly I always like how Iron Mark Sharp never stops hollering. Either he's trash talking or he's just hollering while he's like in a hold or something. Screaming while he gets monkey flipped.
Even while he's applying the hold.
Mm-hmm. And secondary, I just liked how every single thing that he does is like a heel cheap shot at some point. Every single thing, his entire offense is shortcuts. It's just like grab of the tights, jab at the throat, just like behind, like sucker punch. Like there's literally nothing he does. It's just straightforward, I'm going to fight you offense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing. Heels today could take about 100 pages out of Iron Mike Sharp's book and start wrestling like you're a goddamn bad guy, then maybe some of you would get booed.
Yeah.
There's nobody getting booed these days.
Yeah.
Because none of you are doing it right.
Everybody can't do a flip.
If only I could time travel back to Iron Mike Sharp's days and bring him to the present and just have him yell at these modern wrestlers, just holler at them over and over again about what they're doing wrong, little assholes.
Maybe we could get ourselves over and get that 205 live thing on the map.
Oh, yeah.
By just showing up and not doing flips and just working a solid Iron Mike gimmick.
Listen, we're the sons of Iron Mike Sharp, and we're here to turn this show around.
Yeah. Now you got something to finally fucking boo at instead of y'all just sitting on your hands cheering at fucking high spots. They don't even cheer.
Son of Iron Mike and El Hijo del Iron Mike. You're going to have to do a Mexican accent.
Oh, man. I want some kind of mask that's just a mullet. And a mustache.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That sounds easy to make. I'll start making it right now.
And then I guess just have like the forearm gauntlet, but just a cross on it.
You got to get a cross on there somewhere.
El Hijo de Iron.
Or maybe just like a, you know, drawing of Our Lady of Guadalupe. One of the two. You got to get one of those on there.
This could be huge.
I'm going to go with number two, because that was pretty much my number one.
Okay.
As well, I guess. I really liked Bobby Heenan's running joke throughout the entire episode where he didn't want presents, he wanted cold hard cash.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That was a really, really good little bit that stuck with me when I was a kid. I feel like he did it like every year, and it really got in my head where I was like, yeah, fuck presents. Like, people just give you bullshit that you don't need, then you gotta like stick it somewhere or figure out what you're gonna do to it. Give me cash, and then like, I'm golden. Like, anytime I need to pick something up, whatever I want, like, give me a break. They did a nice little storyline there.
I got $40 whole. I could buy anything.
Gorilla had a nice present for him, but he kept shrugging on and saying, no, I don't want it. I want cash. He kept claiming that he was going to bring the crew presents.
Well, Betty was coming with him.
That wasn't true. And eventually he just had to like cough up some cash. He's such a weasel.
We didn't have any cash.
Delightful. Yeah, well, he's good for it.
Well, Okerlund stole his wallet.
After New Year's, they'll get their shit. But then Gorilla got him a nice, like, golden phone, and he was like, this phone's made out of solid gold. I should have took it.
I do want that.
And it all came back on him. It's good storytelling. A lot of good cracks about the cash. I just thought this whole holiday setup was giving Heenan a lot of room to riff, and all of his little quips were. I really liked it. He was making fun of Texas after that Blackjack Mulligan match.
Yeah.
Just how dusty it was.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you know, fuck that. People down there, they drive around in a pickup truck listening to Willie Nelson albums all day with Granny strapped to the back.
Yep.
Willie Nelson looks like he needs to be vacuumed.
Yeah, that's a dig.
That was golden stuff. Texas is so dusty that their country music heroes need a vacuuming. He's right. Willie Nelson did always look dirty.
Yeah.
A lot of Heenan riffing in this episode. That's why this show works. You got a number two? Let's keep going. Let's keep moving.
I want to give a quick 1.5 to the Gene Okerlund WWE Magazine update.
Okay.
Do you recall that little segment?
Is that the one where he went to Ricky Steamboat?
That's right.
Okay, that's just going to be my next one, so we can just talk about that for sure.
Shit, let's just, well, I want to talk about it, so let's just talk about it.
Well, Steamboat gets his throat crushed by Randy Savage.
Second time he's been put on the shelf this year.
Yeah.
Because don't forget the big Jake the Snake concussion.
He's having a bad year. Yeah. And then Mean Gene gives us an update from the little desk he's sitting at. It's nice. And we go to Ricky Steamboat doing his speech therapy with his new speech therapist because he has to relearn how to speak.
She was hot.
Because that's how bad Randy Savage crushed his throat. And for some reason, they're just going through the alphabet.
Okay, let's
that's
work.
That's what speech therapy is.
We're just going to work on the vowel E today. I want you to make the vowel
try it.
E.
I'm going to try
E.
E.
He.
E. So yeah, this is an amazing fucking bit of just like dinner theater acting from Ricky Steamboat, where he's just grunting and spitting and just
throat.
Trying to project that he's angry and getting angrier, and just veins are popping because he can't make an E sound.
He's
and
squeezing his throat trying to make it happen.
It's some of the most ridiculous like promo shit, acting shit I've seen on wrestling in a long ass time.
And it was presented in such an honest fashion.
Oh yeah, like we were supposed to be thinking like, well, look at this man struggling to speak again. I am so emotionally invested in this feud. Randy Savage is an animal.
The brutality of it was up there with when Papa Shango made Ultimate Warrior puke.
Yeah, when we made him sweat motor oil out of his brow. There was a lot of stuff going on there.
Like, that's just the little warriors floating through the veins.
That was very true. But yeah, like, what do you just, I don't know, put some bags under this guy's eyes and like put him in some sort of like neck collar or something and show him looking pathetic and not able to talk. And then maybe you could be like, that's sad.
No. Fuck you, fuck that. Everybody's seen an injury, Nate. There's no compassion to that. How many times do you get a little look behind the curtain and you see the long road back from the injury?
They were thinking outside of the box here. And just,
remember this year when all those internet dorks were worried about Seth Rollins' injured fucking knee because they kept showing it as he's rehabbing to WrestleMania? No. Yeah, either way, it happened. But you care because it's like, well, this is rehab. This is real. And it was like, fucking Steamboat, he can't even talk, man.
Yeah, maybe just like, I don't know, keep it quiet, put some nice dramatic music over it and do a montage of him trying to talk.
No, they did it all right.
This was bad. This is real bad.
No way. Agree to disagree.
It's amazing this even led up to a feud that anyone cared about.
It was amazing is what it was.
It led to a nice Heenan quip too, or after it was over. He just goes, oh, that's a real shame, you know? F comes afterwards. I can't believe he couldn't come up with it.
Next, I don't know where we're at, but I'll just talk about Ebenezer Piper.
Okay.
Was it on yours?
No, not really.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been on mine.
I mean,
here we are.
It should be, because it was a big part of the episode.
It was so bad.
It took long, and like it's important to talk about, but I don't know even what to say about it.
It was really just Piper clearly not agreeing to go with anything that was on paper for that script.
Because he's laying in a bedroom set that looks
Scrooge,
like it was built
right
in a high school theater for a high school play.
He's Ebenezer Scrooge.
They're pumping a bunch of dry ice smoke just into the frame of the camera.
He's just complaining about how smoky it is.
Rightly so.
These ghosts come through. They're all like people trying to be legit actors and deliver lines.
Oh, yeah. Once again, we got some dinner theater actors.
Yeah.
Just like Steamboat was trying to do. Just like Phoebe Zimmerman last week on that mating game parody. Whoever, I don't know who at Titan
talent?
Towers has the hookup at the Stamford, Connecticut, like a local theater scene, but
I feel like it's a dinner theater.
They're pulling in a lot of people's aunts and uncles who have been classically trained in the dramatic arts by, like, I don't know, somebody who was in an off-Broadway play once, moved back home to Stamford from New York. They were there for a summer. It was changed their life, and then they just talked to everybody in Stamford for the rest of their life about that summer I was in New York as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all his disciples, whoever this imaginary person I just came up with is.
He's the
you
guy.
You all know one of them. Every town's got one of them.
He was the guy that played Beachgoer number 4 in Beach Blanket Bingo.
Oh, wow. Yeah. The off-Broadway production of Beach Blanket Bingo.
Correct.
They had to truck in a lot of sand for that. It was a
lot of sand.
Off-Broadway, but it was an elaborate production.
It was good. Well done, to say the least. But Piper's laying there the whole time, just refusing to let these guys get their lines over because he's just being Piper, where it's like, I could never tell, like, if he was just on that many drugs or if he was just, like, that into his bit or what his deal was. But he would, like, never shut up sometimes.
He's a motor mouth. That's his thing, man. He's wild. He's out of control.
He really was. And he's just kicking around and whatever.
He's
and
under those blankets kicking his legs, and he got real sweaty by the end of the thing.
He was like,
he had some serious Davey R. Scheister flop sweat
going on his brow right there. Real Davey R. Scheister flop sweat. But that sheet kept moving more and more, and it became like apparent he wasn't wearing pants of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like really getting concerned.
He's
like,
into
are
his
we
character.
We're going to some kind of
go to sleep with pants on.
Well, that's, but I was like, are we going to get some kind of Piper Dick shot here? Or
that'd be nice.
What's going on? And then it's like, oh no.
Precursor to Edge and Lita's live sex show or, Piper slips a ball during his Ebenezer Piper bit.
But it was just his classic blue trunks.
Yeah.
But the whatever the main ghost is, fuck the Christmas
ghost
story.
Of,
I hate that story. The one that
Christmas
comes back
is
and
he's
like, oh, you're going
to
be visited.
Oh, that's Marley. That's his old business partner. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The one that warns you that the ghosts are
again,
coming.
There's no Christmas story I hate more than the Christmas story.
Woo. You haven't seen the Muppet version?
Why?
The Muppet version is delightful.
The only one I like is Scrooged.
I'm not a fan of Scrooged. That might be the only big... No, I was just about to say it might be the only big Bill Murray joint I don't like, but I think that all those things age pretty terribly from the early 80s.
I really only like
Stripes,
that movie.
Fucking throw it in Stripes. The toilet. Yeah. Caddyshack, I could take a poop on it.
Oh, no, I still enjoy that one.
I mean, it's fine for just like... 80s blah blah blah, like you're sitting around on an afternoon and you watch it on cable whatever, but people talk about this shit like, ooh, classic fucking humor, like these are some of the funniest things ever made.
No,
I challenge you to sit down and laugh at Caddyshack while I'm in the room with you and not feel like a moron. Well, you're gonna feel like a moron.
You really shame people.
Yeah, I do.
You have a very stern
especially
look about you.
Shame about Stripes. That movie sucks.
Don't laugh at this
movie. Sucks.
I enjoy parts of it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Not that third act where they just go off on an adventure in that tricked out RV, I bet.
That part's tough.
Because good lord.
That part's tough.
That's, oh.
Yeah. I don't know what we're talking about.
We were back to talking about that Piper segment, which...
Yeah, it fell flat.
I just don't know what it was for. He's
talking
about... It didn't advance a storyline. Like, it didn't introduce any new wrestlers. Like, it was just... Here's Roddy Piper doing a semi-comedy... spoof of something.
I buried the lead here.
Oh, we're gonna have to go back then.
I did a little binging.
I have to lay down, flip it, and reverse it.
Is your permanent fan yet?
What you binging, man? You're binging all day.
You got to, because I take the integrity of this job serious. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For journalists,
broadcast journalists.
Give me the date on this episode again.
12/23/86.
Do you remember what year a little film called? It was a John Carpenter joint called They Live. You remember what year that came out?
I don't, but I'd love it if Bing would enlighten me.
That came out in the year of our Lord, sweet baby Jesus, 1988.
That makes a lot of sense that somebody would have saw Piper's acting chops in this Ebenezer Piper skit.
Lobbied for this.
Been like, hey man, this guy can act.
Well, he lobbied for this to get done because he had that little role circled. On his things to do.
Makes a lot of sense.
And he needed a demo reel.
I'm going to send this in to Johnny C. I'm going to show him how good I can do with spooky ghost stories. I know this guy is into his horror movies.
I know, you do a little horror.
And then...
The hot rod ain't afraid to dabble.
After that, you know, beauty's going to be made. Maybe we'll get a David Keith. Maybe we'll get a Keith David. I don't know. One of the two. And we'll do some nice buddy stuff. We'll do some nice buddy stuff. And it'll be good for you.
After the big fight.
You know, another movie that came out in the 1980s. Came out in 1986.
I know a lot of movies that came out in the 80s.
Came out in August 1986. If I'm going to make a roundabout guess, I'd say probably August.
Hold on. Let me crack open this new Glarus... Spotted Cow.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's Wisconsin's own.
Drinks beers like an animal over here. He's a real party animal.
Cheers the mic. That's what that
Top
was.
Gun. Top Gun.
Oh.
Real big in 1986, which brings me to my number four. And that's that Dan Spivey and Michael Rotunda interview.
Talking about the U.S. Express, my
These
brother?
These guys are the new U.S. Express. They're giving an interview. Dan Spivey's back from his injury. He's got torn cartilages.
Yeah.
I had torn cartilages.
It's an old football injury, bro.
So these guys are bad at talking. And they not only have nothing to say.
They dumped him for saying crap.
Stammering.
We're not going to take no crap.
Fucking just can't get a word out. Can't really just, you know, get themselves over whatsoever until... Finally, they get to the point of the interview where you know they had talked about it beforehand, and they had something planned.
Give it to me.
And they're going to feed into that Top Gun just frenzy that's happening in the United States of America in 1986. Dan Spivey lets that Ken Resnick know They got a new attitude here. And from now on, the ring, the squared circle out there where you do your wrestling,
yeah.
From now on, we're not calling it that.
Wait, but it's the ring.
We're calling it the Danger Zone.
Oh. Hell yeah.
That shit was cool. That's my number four right there. Just
hell yeah.
Fall out. Just like him building up that whole dumb interview. Just being like, I'm calling the ring the Danger Zone from now on, baby. And then Mike Rotunda being like, hell yeah, that's what we're doing. We're sick of taking crap. From now on, we're in the Danger Zone.
Wrestling.
Yeah, they really struggled with talking.
Man, they built that up like it was like the coolest shit they were going to drop. And then the Danger Zone was going to be like their new big gimmick. And they were going to get over so huge.
Did they used to come out to Kenny Loggins hanging with the boys?
No, they never. The original U.S. Express, back when it was Wyndham and Rotunda, came out to the suite Born in the USA. Our man, the boss from New Jersey. Yeah.
Hey, kids, it's time for Counting with Bruce Springsteen.
One, two, three, four, five, here, here, hee, ha, here, 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 hee, four, hee, ha, hee, 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 ha, yeah!
All right. What did I get up to?
And then these guys are just kind of coming out to like a, you know, a free rights marching band version of like, I don't know.
Yankee Doodle.
Whatever they gave to fucking Hacksaw when he came around or whatever. That fucking bullshit. They'd wave that American flag. Not interesting. Not interesting. Born in the USA, though. That's a cool song.
Yeah.
They should have got really the boss cool on board. I feel like he's a working man. He can appreciate these wrestlers as working men, you know. He's not going to charge him an arm and a leg. This guy.
I feel like WCW could have gotten Springsteen to join the fold.
You think so?
With a big enough check.
Oh, they would have just back in like when Turner owned him and yeah. They had some money to yeah. throw around.
And like they named like an entire pay-per-view after him.
Oh, man. Darkness on the Edge of Town coming up this October.
Greetings from Asbury Park.
Wow.
Where do you want to go?
Maybe we could just create a Bruce Springsteen-based promotion? Wrestling federation. Yeah. Like, oh, shit could be good.
Join us as we come to you live from the Midwest wrestling? This month for our exclusive pay-per-view, Nebraska.
Oh, what? I don't know if that's going to sell.
It's going to be a sad pay-per-view.
That's going to sell.
Real downer.
Yeah, real downer. A lot of just chin locks and crying.
I was years ago when you had the torrents and you'd rip albums online.
Oh,
and this
I never
and
did
that.
That's dishonest.
Yeah, me neither. But I was doing it. I needed a quick copy of Bruce's Nebraska, right? Mm-hmm. I'm on Reddit or one of them things or this or that.
I don't think that was around back
which,
then.
Whatever it is. But I find a link and I'm like, oh, that's...
timelines are getting mixed up.
I don't know my internets. So I find it and I'm like, this is good. And I'm like going through and reading some comments and this and that. And there was one that said, Bruce writes an album mm-hmm. called Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
Then
mm-hmm.
N-Word writes 10 songs about New Jersey.
Legends of Springsteen.
It was like the most incredible thing that has ever happened to me. Springsteen was in town getting a concert. I couldn't afford the tickets, so I'm in this bar, drowning my sorrows. And suddenly the door bangs open, and who walks in but the man himself. I mean, I had always heard stories about the boss showing up in some small bar, but come on, I never thought it would happen to me. Must have been up there for like 15 hours. He played every song he ever wrote. But that was nothing, right?
after he's done playing, he grabs a pail and mop and starts washing the floors. I mean, he was really scrubbing. And if that ain't enough, he refills all the ketchup bottles. And the next morning when I woke up, I had been freshly shaved, manicured, and my shoes had been polished.
I think we should steal that and make a may-may out of it. Pass that around. There's a lot of Bruce Springsteen message boards out there. There's a lot of like housewives that like get on the internet and talk about Bruce Springsteen all the time.
Yeah.
We should probably start trying to tap into that market.
Yeah, I like that. Remember when that woman wanted to have a threesome with us because we feigned interest in the cougar? And then from that night forward, we really loved the cougar.
I mean, Bruce Springsteen, I would definitely like, you know, use him to impress some like, you know, middle-aged woman and try to bed her, but what you're saying right now couldn't have happened. That's ridiculous.
No, it happened, bro.
I do not respect John Cougar. I would not have pretended like I like him.
We were like, oh, let's play these two or three Cougar songs. It sounds like a really good time right now, and we did, and then that woman was like, would you two gentlemen like to have sex with
me? You're a real riffraff. You're making up a lot of so-and-so
You were there. You were there.
How dare you?
Do you have another thing for this thing you want to talk
not
about?
Really.
I don't know. There's Camo Carl. Nah, it doesn't matter. Oh, I want to talk about my guy Adrian Adonis real quick. He was
good.
Really good at wrestling.
He put on a good probably like 60 pounds over the course of 1986.
Doesn't fucking matter. That dude kills it, dude.
He was flying all over the place.
He did that crazy Ric Flair turnbuckle spot where he flips himself around, but then he's like, fuck you, Flair, I do it one better. I tied my fat ass up in the ropes on this one. That was cool, man. He's cool.
I gotta say, he's really fat at this point. You could tell he's about to die. Like, there's no question. Like, this guy is on his way to dying.
He looked like Dusty.
Oh, he looked worse than Dusty, man. Like, Dusty is just like a big fat guy. This guy's like morbidly obese, and how he's like, he can support any of that weight just to like
pain pills.
How he's got the core strength to even like be upright and to like be able to flip that shit through the ropes and stuff. It's amazing.
It was, like, I was really impressed.
If you could be that fat and still be athletic, just do it. Just go for it.
He wore that robe to the ring that said New York City on the back of it.
That was really nice, yeah.
Because they were in Boston, which was great. And Boston really surprised me because everybody knows it's a town full of racists.
Mm-hmm.
But they cheered that black man on because they didn't want to see that funny fellow.
Well, yeah, their homophobia trumps their racism. Okay. Let's not go too out of turn here, giving Boston any credit for being
progressive. There's a pecking order. There's a pecking order.
There is, certainly. Yeah. You know, even when I'm down there at the harbor, you know, I'm talking to, you know, that docky that they hired. Like, you know, I don't know about him for sure, but...
Oh, easy there, sweet cheeks.
They hired that one queer, and, like, I could see him giving him the stink eye. So I was like, maybe this docky's okay, you know?
Hey, look how strong I am. That giving you a hot-on?
Oh, Jesus. Don't you start getting comfortable out there. We're living in a world of hate.
World of hate. You want to talk about anything else?
That Hogan-Hernandez match was good. These guys had good chemistry. It was a shame to see it didn't last as long as I wanted it to, because Hercules Hernandez fits really well into that Hogan formula. Where,
he
like,
sure does.
You do the test of strength stuff at the beginning. He's big enough to look credible doing that. Then you cheap shot Hogan. You know, he's got that down. He did all the stuff. But, I mean, instead of, like, squashing Hogan is usually the formula after that. You do the test of strength. You start losing the test of strength, so you cheap shot Hogan, and then you start squashing him.
Yep.
Instead, he's a big, strong guy, not a big, fat guy, so he's just doing a lot of picking him up and slamming him.
It was cool to see
Hogan getting slammed around and taking bumps.
Yeah.
Hogan took a lot of bumps for this guy, and they both look good. And I don't know why they never got, like, a long storyline or a long feud like that. I feel like this could have been a much bigger thing.
That's kind of what I thought. I was like, well, they should have chased each other a little more.
Given Hercules a big old push as a bad guy.
You mean they couldn't just do that in the middle of the summer when they're looking for
one
stuff?
One of these days? Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
How many feuds did Hogan have in the 80s? I feel like it was just like...
Two?
Yeah.
Three?
One a year?
Yeah. I liked in the middle of that match when Hernandez had Hogan over his knee stretching him out. Did you see what
Working
was in
that spine?
Did you see what was in the middle of the ring right next to Hogan? Nice piece of crumbled up cup.
His muffler fell out, maybe?
No, somebody threw a little garbage
in the
ring.
Somebody threw some garbage in the ring?
Yeah, baby.
Fuck you, Hercules. That's our hero. You're stretching out there. I'm going to throw some of my garbage at you.
How ironic. Years later, They'd all throw their garbage at Hogan.
If you don't like what's happening in your life, just anywhere you are, throw your garbage at
it. Throw it.
Just a little PSA out there. The best way you can express displeasure, throw garbage at something.
You dorks on the internet really hate that new Star Wars as much as you say you do. Quit leaving their garbage at your feet like a bunch of lazy assholes.
Yeah, I was picking up your garbage.
Be a man.
At the
fucking
theater.
Throw it at the screen.
You
be
losers.
A man, you losers.
That's passive aggressive.
You virgin losers.
You don't leave garbage behind. Throw it at the screen.
I'm real man. I don't like this movie.
I wanted Luke Skywalker to be more of a formidable Jedi than he proved to be.
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
I expected training.
He's always
montages.
A loser. His training was cut short in the original trilogy. Pay
it's
attention,
true.
Dipshit.
His whole character is that,
is
he
that he's
sucks
a fucking
and he's a
loser.
Misses the forest for the trees because he's such a baby.
You're all
about everything.
Pissed off about Kylo Ren being a loser, too. He's supposed to be 16.
Man, Kylo Ren's cool as
That's
shit.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody's like, he's so whiny. He's this, he's that. He's supposed great. To be like a 16-year-old boy,
he's
man.
Goth and he's
perfect.
He's
full of like testosterone and puberty, and he's, also the strongest Sith ever. Like, come on. He's working through some things.
Strongest ever. So, I don't know.
Possibly the strongest. Whatever.
I've read a lot of the novels, you know, like the extended universe.
I've read
novels,
a lot of the fan fiction.
Some of the fan fiction gets a little bit too out there for me, but I've got this series of these Star Wars novels that, you know, are really good.
I'd like to read all of them.
I'd like to, you know, tell you about them. Maybe we'll take a little break here. We'll hear a word from some sponsors. We'll come back, and then I'm going to go down my list of the 72 Star Wars novels that I think are most essential that people should read so they could understand the world of Star Wars that George Lucas built and why this new Star Wars movie is a travesty and it should be erased from the canon. That's going to be in the three count.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
With Pillsbury sugar cookies, you can help kids create their own Christmas treats.
I made a little angel. Actually, my mommy helped. It was easy. This Santa has a problem. My Santa's cheeks got chubby in the oven.
You know how I made it? Frosting and gumdrops.
The wing broke off and I ate it.
Everyone loves Pillsbury cookies, fresh and hot.
Ho, ho! Eating's the best, no problem.
Hey, Vern, you've got to see my new holiday movie. It's called Ernest Saves Christmas. It's a great movie, Vern, and it's all about how I helped Santa out of this tough jam, and I had to drive the sleigh with all the reindeer. Let's see, there was Donner and Blitzen and Comet and Shorty and Lance and Doc and Sneezy. And Vern, those reindeer made one heck of a mess.
Ooh-hoo. Ernest Saves Christmas, rated PG. Now playing at a theater near you, check newspaper for showtime.
Three count is a very, very, very nice count.
Can't have another one.
You know?
Yeah, this is pretty good.
With two cats in the yard, life used to be so hard.
Okay.
Now everything is easy.
Right into the three count. You could fit three count into a lot of songs, probably.
It works well. I like it. It
works very well.
Just announced a couple minutes ago. Well, I mean, depending on when you're listening to this, like 2 weeks ago.
When I was in the bathroom?
It was just announced 2 weeks ago tonight.
Okay.
Get ready, internet dorks.
On this night.
You ready? First ever women's
breaking news.
Royal Rumble.
Oh, wow. They've got enough women that they're confident can take that bump over the top rope now that they're finally going to do one.
What's up?
Royal Rumble's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a new year.
Yeah.
That means we're right in the Christmas season right now. And I'll tell you what, Christmas can be hectic.
Boy, howdy. Ask Kevin McAllister.
Yeah, there's a lot of times you get left behind by your parents, then you got to defend your house from burglars.
Because your family's too big.
The malls are always crowded.
Just like in Paul Blart.
And like in Paul Blart Mall. Do they ever have a Christmas version of that?
That's what Paul Blart is.
The whole first one was about Christmas.
Paul Blart is Die Hard for children.
Yeah.
It takes place at Christmas in a mall.
See, I feel like it should have just taken place at a mall, and then like you up the stakes for the sequel and be like, ooh, this time it's during Christmas shopping.
No.
This sequel is going to be even crazier than the first one.
No, they were like, let's make a movie that kids will like, but it's just going to be Die Hard repackaged so that the adults
kids
will like it as
Die
well.
Die Hard. I'll tell you that much right now. You could just show kids Die Hard. That's what I would have done.
I shot a kid.
I know you had recent words with some people that live on the internet, and I agree with you.
On a real big
fuck every one of
Twitter
you.
Fight about Die Hard.
Die Hard is the greatest Christmas movie ever.
All
get
these
over
hipsters
yourselves.
Now trying to backlash Die Hard.
I don't think it's that good.
Die Hard is just because it happens to have one Christmas thing in it does not mean it's a Christmas movie. All you people, so quit telling me that it is.
It's filled with Christmas music.
People
it's
are
filled
morons.
With Christmas scenery. It's about a family getting back together, a Christmas miracle. The whole fucking movie's about
Christmas.
Christmas
party.
There's not one Christmas
nothing
thing.
Out of the box to watch Die Hard at Christmas.
The
so
entire
all you
thing
smug
is about
hipsters
Christmas.
On Twitter. Go fuck yourselves. Go fuck yourself. Oh, Die Hard got popular now, and a lot of people like to watch it at Christmas. So I'm gonna backlash on it.
Or how about the fact
you're,
that it's
you
just
embarrass me?
Our generation enjoying a fine Christmas movie that also happens to be an action movie.
30 years of mainstream popularity because it's one of the best films of the 80s, you motherfuckers.
Get over yourselves.
Christmas is also about families.
Yeah, hell yeah,
spend
families.
A lot of time with your family. Everybody's got their little traditions. My family, every year we get together. And we just kind of stare at each other and don't have much to say. That's our tradition, and it works out really well for us. What kind of stuff you got going on Christmas?
I remember when my brother Doc Boy and I were little.
Oh, brother, here we go again.
Dad would chop down the tree.
Chores.
Mom would fix up the meal.
Work.
Doc Boy would get in the way.
Fighting. Big, fat, hairy deal.
Decorating the tree.
Gardening.
Wiring all of the lights.
Electrical contracting.
Wrapping boxes and writing out cards.
Office work. Out of sight.
Then we'd take those presents and pile them under the tree. We'd barely get a wink of sleep, wondering what they could be.
The special gifts of Christmas,
Christmas
that really make it great.
It's so great.
Are the insomnia and the anxiety
kids get from having to wait.
Can't wait till Christmas. There's so much to do. Can't wait till Christmas.
Wake me when it's through.
Some people don't have, you know,
it's usually
great
way
Christmas
too hot
traditions.
Wherever I'm at.
It's like, because old people have the heat blasted? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit of that.
Some people, you know, their family's a little boring. Some families don't get along. Christmas isn't always great for everyone. Christmas is hard sometimes. People have a hard time at Christmas. And maybe it'd be nice to, you know, do one of those wife swap shows, only like family swap.
Yeah.
You go hang out and have Christmas with another family. You ever think about that?
Hell yeah.
Does that ever cross your mind? Like, what if I do Christmas with another family?
Yeah.
That's a, you know, crazy idea, but it might happen.
I watched so
someday.
Much wife swap the other day.
You're just like, yeah, I was just
I was
vegging
off.
All
I was
day.
Just off one
you know?
Day.
I just, I'm just going to veg all day and watch wife swap.
One of us is joking right now.
Okay. That was...
I watched a lot of Wife Swap.
You're serious about it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen so many episodes of Wife Swap in my day.
I'm looking in your eyes right now, and it's terrifying how serious you are.
That episode where Alan Thicke and Gilbert Godfrey.
Oh, my God.
Trade wives.
Gilbert Godfrey's married?
It's great, because Gilbert Godfrey just keeps doing this impersonation of Alan Thicke to his wife, to Alan Thicke's wife.
Gilbert Godfrey's wife just Gilbert Godfrey in a wig?
No, she's a nice lady.
Huh.
So, like, he's just constantly being like, I can't believe you're married to Alan Thicke. And she's just like, no, Alan's a nice guy. He's like, he fired me from a job years ago. He was like, I'm Alan Thicke.
That's really good.
Like, that's
I should start watching
funny.
Wife Swap. Is it always celebrities?
There's celebrity wife swap.
Okay.
They did an episode
I thought
with,
that was just like a special they did once.
They
I didn't
did.
Know they were like, I could see all sorts of celebrities swapping wives.
I suggest you check it out if you're thinking about getting your toes wet.
I'm not thinking about it. Like, my toes are already damp. Like, I'm halfway in the pool.
Find that one because it's great, obviously.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then I also
everything
suggest
Gilbert does
you,
is great, in my opinion.
I suggest
especially
you find
Problem Child 2.
Later on.
Problem Child 2, already seen it.
Oh, I love that
don't
one.
Don't have to. You want me to quote from it?
The gentleman on your shirt right now? Ric Flair.
Ric Flair is on my shirt. That's right. And I didn't look down.
Hot Rod Roddy Piper.
Ooh,
did a wife swap.
Was this after he died?
Yes, it was after he died. So it was just Flair banging. Yeah.
Flair's wife just had to go sit by Roddy Piper's tombstone for like a whole episode.
Yep, for a week.
Very sad.
It was a good episode.
Like those scenes in those new Rocky movies where he goes and sits by Adrian's tombstone.
But the point is,
those are good movies.
They
man.
Both have families.
I'm going to watch those tonight. Those scream Christmas movies to me for some reason. Yeah. A little sad Rocky.
South. Poor.
Sad Rocky South action. That's poor. Very December.
So they,
go on, though.
They've got families.
Tell me more about Wife Swap.
There's families on Wife Swap, and there's families at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to trade your family, you're saying,
get them out of here. I'm trading up.
What if you could choose a family you wanted to spend Christmas with?
Mm-hmm. That would blow my mind.
What if you could choose your top three wrestling families?
Oh, goddamn, we got a three count. There's a lot of wrestling families out there. Somebody who gets
doing
a wrestling in a family.
I don't know.
Another person wants to get in wrestling in the family. Soon everybody's wrestling. Soon you got a wrestling family.
Everybody's wrestling.
If you get into wrestling, you're generally probably a crazy person. Everybody's wrestling. You get a whole wrestling family. That's a whole family of crazy people. That makes
just
for a fun Christmas.
Big old wacky family of crazies.
That could be a real fun Christmas. So think about it. What wrestling family would you want to spend Christmas with? We thought about it. We came up with a few, and now we're going to talk about it.
We're
going to talk about three of them each, probably.
And we'd like to share them with you.
What
you could
would
have
it
rhymed.
Be like? We'd do a lot of impressions, probably. Like, could you imagine if it was Christmas time with this family?
I'm all killed right, with God.
Go.
Okay, so I got a common theme in mind.
Okay. Good. It's structured. Let's keep this improv comedy to a minimum.
It's pretty much apparently what's important to me at Christmas or where can I get the best food and where am I going to be boozing the most.
I also thought about food and booze a lot
when
I was
putting
these together.
Good.
That's
so I'm going to go
priority
although,
straight.
Although we haven't talked about this family a lot on our show.
No, well,
they were doing things in the 80s.
Let's get into it then. It's about time to start talking about these people.
Some families cook a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some families that are of certain ethnicity that cook a lot of food.
Yeah, you get like the traditional American shit, but then also you get like wherever the fuck they're from.
That's
it's like
right.
Double Christmas dinner.
That's right.
You want to get in on that?
I'm thinking I'm spending Christmas with a lovely family.
Mm-hmm.
Los Guerreros.
Los Guerreros is definitely on my list as well.
Are they? Good.
Let's get into
smart
this.
Smart man. They're
perfect
stacked.
Sense.
There's a ton of them, right?
So many.
There's so many of them. So money's coming in, all right? They're a successful wrestling family.
Sure. I'm sure they got like a whole like El Rancho somewhere. They're just like a compound.
But they're blue collar, man. They're salt of the earth
plenty
people.
Of room to stretch your dogs.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
They're not going to be trying to... Oh, you're eating with the wrong fork there, bro.
Mm.
No, no, no. It's a tamale, man. You can pick that up. You eat that with your
there's
hand if you feel like it.
There's going to be tamales
there's
at Guerrero
be.
Christmas.
There's going to be.
You know what sucks? Thanksgiving dinner is one thing, and then a month later, we're just doing Thanksgiving a dinner again for Christmas dinner. What's the point of that?
Can I blow your mind here?
White people,
why
are you doing the same thing over and over again?
Can I blow your mind?
I'd love to have my mind blown.
Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And a taco?
Wow. Sounds great. You need to, if you're a white person like me, you grew up around a bunch of white like families.
Yeah.
Everybody you knew was white when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do yourself a favor. Make some brown friends. Start having some fun holidays where you're not eating Thanksgiving dinner twice.
No.
You're doing it once, and then you're having fucking Guerrero tamales for Christmas.
Yeah.
Huh. This is a great time.
What a time to be alive.
There's a lot of boozing going on.
Yeah,
there's a lot of boozing going on.
They like to party.
You know, at some point, like, Hector's getting drunk and he's pulling out the gobbledygooker outfit.
Oh, yeah.
He's rolling around
Hector,
that party.
Get it out. No, no, no.
The kids are going
on,
crazy.
Hector,
they're following him around screaming. Like,
get it out.
Fucking, you know, Mondo back in the 1980s.
Yeah.
He was training all those gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Ooh.
You know, there's going to be
a couple
of them
might have been showing up.
A few of them that couldn't make it home for the holidays.
Uh-huh.
So They're going to the Guerrero Christmas.
Yeah.
They're desperate. They're sad. It's the holidays. You know, you're there too.
Real sad.
You don't know everybody. You're not a Guerrero. Mm-mm. You start moving in on like Susie the Farmer's daughter or whatever the fuck
you
those gimmicks were back then.
You slide a digit in one of them.
You could probably
under
end
the
up,
table at dinner.
Yeah,
who cares?
One of the gorgeous ladies are wrestling and you. You might make a love connection at this Guerrero dinner.
That's pretty cool.
This is going to be a fun time. This is a lot funner than my family Christmas where everybody just talks about local high school football.
Yeah, fuck that. Lil Chavito's there.
Everybody's sober and talking about local high school football.
No.
I'm not making that trip this year.
No, they're talking
what
about...
What a bummer.
They're talking about Lil Chavo.
Oh, yeah.
And how he's on the wrestling team.
Him and Eddie are running around with mullets.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about the timelines here, too.
Like, it doesn't matter. No, you can mix
you
them
pick
up.
Pick where you want to go.
Feel,
like,
yeah, I feel like
I want
you
a
can
90s
take the best
one,
parts.
If I want a modern one, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you go to those modern ones. You know Vicky Guerrero is just wine drunk and
looking
like
to get,
doing sexy aunt dancing.
Oh, hell
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, Vicky Guerrero, the crazy aunt.
Still
she's
you're
drunk on.
See, you're still rocking the short hair, Vicky.
She's drunk on Pinot again.
Yep.
Fucking look at her swiveling those hips.
But then minutes later in that same exact
saying
party.
Body things to the nephews.
That same party, Eddie's still alive minutes later.
Oh,
it can be whatever
wow.
you want.
Yeah.
It can be whatever you want. It's imaginary. And
it's imaginary
magic.
And it's magical. And that's what Christmas is all about. God. Miracles.
I'm glad you were right there with
my
me.
My Christmas miracle would be a fucking Guerrero Christmas.
I like that.
Okay.
Glad you're right there.
We can move on. Not all Christmases are a miracle. Sometimes, you know, Christmases are about dysfunction. It's about families that don't get along.
Ooh.
And there's going to be fighting. You know, there's going to be drama. That's a lot of people's experience on the holidays. And I felt like I wanted to get on my list like a good Christmas that would just be like
representative
out of control.
Of real Christmas?
Just a shit show. Representative of real, just drama-filled fucking Christmas. And that's why I want to do Christmas with the Jarretts.
Oh, I thought you were going to say maybe a... Christmas with Sandman, the Fultons, for a minute. We're like,
does he have other wrestlers in his family?
Well, his wife, Lori, and then his kid
oh,
that Raven took
did,
into his flock for a
they
minute.
They did come into the business.
I thought you were saying...
They did join Raven's flock.
You know you're going to drink heavily with Sandman, and then like Uncle Raven's going to come
you
over and steal
gonna
everyone.
You're
going
to drink heavily at the Jarrett family Christmas, considering Jeff just lost all his jobs for being fucking a drunk or whatever. You know,
remember when he lost that wrestling corporation?
Several of them.
You're showing up drunk
several
in
of them. Karen's there. You know him and Karen are just getting into like a screaming match.
Oh, yeah.
They're boozed up. They're on pills.
Hey, I'll tell you right now, she fucked Angle.
Well, that's point two. Kurt Angle shares kids with Karen. So you know he's showing up to pick up his kids at some point.
Hell, Angle fucked her.
He's got that new job with WWE. He's back on top of the world. That's not sitting right with Jeff.
Oh,
so once
man.
Kurt shows up, start picking up the kids, like Jeff's
not
popping
on
up
pills.
His chest.
He's not on pills anymore.
Talking about all the shit. Oh, I'm blackballed from, you know.
Kiss my grits, slap nuts.
Blackballed from that WWE, but, you know, I got my own thing going again. We're going to get a new wrestling promotion coming up. He got Jerry Jarrett there, you know. He's going to be feeling awkward around this.
Was Jeff married to anybody else?
I don't know.
I feel like he had to have been married to Deborah or something.
I don't think that was just on camera.
I don't know.
Probably mistaken when she got slapped around by Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Either way, his dad's there, and he's just a little scared, sweet old man. He's, oh no, everything's going wrong.
Oh, Jeff, Karen. Oh, Jeffy, I wish you wouldn't.
Have some of my chicken salad, please, darling. And it's
what, Jimmy Hart's there?
Well, he's got a famous chicken salad recipe.
He only calls guys.
I don't know, yeah,
absolutely. You don't want to know what the secret ingredient is.
Either way,
is.
Once Angle shows up, this is turning into a shit show. There's going to be a brawl before dinner. Like,
would you say a brawl for all?
I would, but then it's going to settle down because you know what else is going on?
No.
That Southern religious shit. So, you know, even after there's a big white trash brawl and everybody's clawing each other's eyes out, Jeff's making everybody sit around the table so he can do some sort of like pompous like grace where he's like talking about Jesus and like telling everybody how they got to like be humble and everything that's important. And it's like, motherfucker, you just fucking pissed in the bushes. You just got in a bitch fight with Kurt Angle out on the front stoop when he was trying to drop his daughters off. This is a real white trash Christmas, and I'm going to feel just at home there. This is going to be amazing to me.
You're probably going to want to hear this.
Uh-huh.
Jarrett was married to his high
school. Are you binging Jarrett's marriage history you got already? To. Dirty old dish rag?
I want you to know everybody that's going to be there. He was married to his high school sweetheart, Jill, born December 1st.
Jill Jarrett?
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Second double J?
The two of them had three daughters together, Jocelyn, Jacqueline, and Jaren.
Double J's all over the place. What is a boy to do?
He's got two brothers, Jerry Jr. and Jason. He has one sister, Jennifer.
Jesus Christ.
His wife had cancer.
White people who name all their fucking kids the same.
Oh, they love that shit.
Consonant are crazy.
Yeah, the rehab and then Karen. Oh, yeah. So yeah, you're gonna have all. You're gonna have the, all those. Three
Not
girls.
Everybody's gonna be there. A lot of them are gonna be at rehab, but there's gonna be enough people there. It's gonna be crowded. It's gonna be crazy. There's gonna be a lot of shit going
on. It's gonna
be
good, man.
Double J Christmas.
I like that one. That's a really good one.
It's a Christmas tree's fallen over at some point before that shit's over.
I
can guarantee you.
It's a little outside the box. I like it. I got one as well that I think is a little out there. Started thinking wrestling families and going through, and you got some great names and this and that. And then I thought about one great name and two lesser names.
Sure.
Thinking about having Christmas if I can, you know, go back in time and everybody's still alive.
Absolutely. We're having fantasies right now.
I want Christmas with Big Dust.
Christmas at the Rhodes household.
Right?
You know Big Dust is cooking up some good shit for that Christmas dinner, man.
And like, here's a big thing about Christmas for me. I'm always hot, right?
Hot.
Big Dust always has that AC
going.
Yeah,
it's just like
you
an ice
know
cooler,
that.
Even in December.
Number two, I don't like dressing up all that much. I just want to wear jeans and like a t-shirt.
If you want to dress up like a 70s pimp, feel free to get extravagant. But if not, show up like a cowboy.
Or a blue-collar working man.
Absolutely.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, probably Dusty's dad, who is a plumber, which is my understanding, is going to be there.
Yeah,
you think
a
plumber is wearing like a fucking sport coat to dinner?
No.
Hell no.
You know, depending on what timeline we're in, we're going to get like, you know, pouty gold dust. Because couldn't quite become what his old man was. And then,
Marlena's going to get super drunk and like
there.
Probably have her tits out
at least
some point.
At least one of them's hanging out. And I'm thinking like maybe like a 12-year-old Cody, like just...
Dustin's going to be freebasing in the bathroom.
Oh, hell yeah.
Or just like real sad, like Boogie Nights, William H. Macy's character.
I've never freebased or done drugs.
Creating a lot of just storylines in my head right now about how this Christmas is going to go.
I've never freebased in my life, but like if given the option, like if it's Christmas...
If I could do it at Christmas
and like
Dustin Rhodes.
Dustin Rhodes is like, you want to hit this
hell
shit?
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, oh, fuck.
Hell
yeah. Probably I do, yeah.
Presents, dude.
Ooh.
You know Dusty's giving out mink coats to everybody. Everybody who shows up to that shit's walking away with a fucking mink coat. That's going to be hella baller, man.
And you don't have to bring much.
Well, yeah, I leave Rhodes Christmas with a mink coat. I'm the happiest boy in the whole world.
Like, I show up with like a sixer of Strohs, and Dusty's going to be like, no, son, I'm just happy you made it. You just put that right there in the fridge, daddy, and you come have yourself a good time.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. And like, he's fat. And he's from the South, so like the food's going to be good.
Oh, the food is going to be excellent. And you know he's going to have some of that like fucking soul food cooking in there too, because Dusty is always trying to be black.
Plus,
you're going to get some of those fucking greens,
man.
You're going to get all that good shit. Cornbread, as far as the eye can see.
You got a second family you want to spend a little time with?
Yeah, I've done like two, but I'm going to throw another one in there, because we just shared that Guerrero's one.
That's fine.
I'm going to take one of my honorable mentions out of the box and do this as my number two.
Okay.
I want to have a Steiner's Christmas.
I thought about them too. Why wouldn't you?
Oh, man. Can you think about all the sweet quotes that are going to come out of that fucking party? Scott Steiner quotes you're going to be able to be telling people the whole rest of the year that happened at Christmas?
It's going to be very protein heavy. So it's going to be steak, and then I'm imagining starches.
You're
going to
have some
potatoes.
Shoney's catering is what you're
going
to get.
Ooh, that's true.
Maybe I love going to a Shoney's, man.
Yeah.
You're going to get all... He's got all those employees, man. You think they're not coming in and catering that Christmas party?
Rick's got to be a drunk by now.
Rick is on the school board. He can't be a drunk.
Oh, yeah, shit. Well, maybe you're not
there's
going to
be a lot of pillars of the community, man. There's going to be a lot of girls on that school board who are like single moms. And you're going to be talking to those single moms.
Okay.
Rick's going to get in the eggnog. He's going to be barking.
Ooh, that's true.
It's going to, you know, there's going to be a lot of barking. You know, at some point you got two, not just pro wrestlers, but collegiate amateur wrestlers. There's some fucking sibling rivalry there. At some point, tempers are going to flare and they're going to start talking about who could take who these days if they were going to get down on the mat and, you know, grapple for a little bit.
Yeah.
End tables are getting knocked over at this Christmas party, man.
That's the one.
Plus, you know, Steiner's just going to be spitting and hollering everywhere throughout that whole dinner.
Rick, no, not again, hon.
Yeah.
No, watch the end table, Ricky.
Too late. Oh, there it goes.
Yeah,
Damn it, those kids.
Some point, he's just going to be cussing about Ric Flair. Just like everybody else is trying to have a nice dinner. And he's just talking about that crooked tooth bastard or about that time that he tried to strangle Hulk Hogan's wife at the airport or something.
Bastard, I'll be back. Do you know what? It's Christmas party. Everybody, this is my baby Jesus. I'm looking around. You got these people like Hulk Hogan. He doesn't know nothing about Jesus.
He don't know.
Ric Flair. He's probably a Jew. I don't know.
He looks like a Jew to me.
Spitting and hollering. Samoa Joe? I don't know what Samoa Joe's religion is. He doesn't believe in Christ, I'll tell you that much.
Damn, sure he don't.
Me and Scott Steiner are getting salty about it.
Yeah. Is he fat?
He's fat!
He's fat.
Think of Steiner Christmas. I'm going to throw that in as an extra number two since we had that overlap. And
I like that.
I like to imagine it.
I got a number one here.
So do I. I'm interested to see if maybe we have the same number one. I got to think probably we do.
It's going to have good times,
mm-hmm.
bad times,
mm-hmm.
and every time in between.
Song.
And I'm going to be, I'm thinking, Partying with the Hearts.
Oh, wow. You're Partying with the Hearts?
I'm Partying with the Hearts.
That is not my number one.
So here
I
we
said,
go.
When I was starting this list, the number one thing I said is, I would never go to the Hearts Christmas.
Well, I'm thinking I'm Partying with the Hearts.
That's going to be a shit show.
I'm thinking I'm Partying with the Hearts. You got Brett, who's just going to be burying people the entire time.
The whole
No, we're
party.
Just having fun with you, Bruce. It's not true what I'm saying here. That's just a joke. He gets so hot. He gets so worked up.
You know, one year I went down. I was in Dallas. I spent Christmas there. I was at a Von Erichs Christmas. Their tree was like half-sized. I didn't think their tree was a respectful size to celebrate the baby Jesus. That's the day I lost all respect for the Von Erich family.
I went to a Von Erich Christmas, and instead of having the tree planted, they had the tree hanging. That's a joke.
Oh,
that's just a joke.
You shouldn't kill yourself. It's not respectful for your family or for God if you're going to kill yourself.
I saw respect for the Von Erichs that day when they hung themselves.
Bible considers it a sin.
So you're going to get fights. You're going to get everybody.
So many fights.
You're
going to get Canadian hockey fights. You're up in Calgary.
Hearts. There's a
it's
million
gonna
hearts.
It's going to be -20. It's going to be -20 degrees at this party.
There's so many hearts, and then, like, they're married to, you got both sets of the Bulldogs are married to Hart sisters.
Oh, you got.
And then you got
Johnny Smith fucking, probably there. He's kayfabe fucking family with Davey Smith. You got anybody who's ever
coming.
Stepped
he's
foot in
up.
Calgary at this
you
fucking
got,
party.
Pillman was in the Hart Foundation.
Pillman's fucking whole family's
show
there,
up.
Definitely.
You got no
question.
The Anvil. If we're back in time, hopefully
to
he's
be fair,
like
the
a,
Anvil
like
passed out 2 hours before the party started, so you don't have to deal with him much.
So he's not going
to
care what we're doing with his teen daughter, Natty.
He's stretched out on the couch, just face down asleep. Nobody else can. He's taken up like three seats, so nobody else could sit around in the
You're
living
not gonna
room.
Get him
but
to move.
He ain't going to get him
He
to
drank
move.
All those Budweisers.
Look at his face. It's bright red.
All those Molsons. I'm sorry, we're in Canada.
Gotta order a Canadian.
So I'm thinking that's my number one family.
Yeah.
But then it dawned on me.
Wow.
I'm in Canada. They celebrate fucking Boxing Day.
It's like two Christmases.
But it's not Christmas.
Well, they celebrate Christmas too.
So Jim and Mac Jeffers, they get it.
Number one, Jim and Mac Jeffers. We're having a Jeffers Christmas.
I don't even
know where they're from or what that would look
Doesn't
like.
Doesn't matter. They later
they're
on become...
They're doughy men, though.
They later on become the Mod Squad.
Oh.
Where they were police bikers.
Wow.
Named Basher and Spike.
Was that... What promotion was that in?
WCW. We might get into it.
They repackaged him a little bit?
Yeah.
Wow, that's good. That's
so
good.
So Jeffers, that's
Not
my
the
number
hearts.
One.
Yeah.
Not the hearts.
I couldn't... I'd feel
hearts don't celebrate
there.
Christmas.
Too
they don't
many
celebrate
people
Christmas,
there.
Man.
There's too many people
they
there.
Boxing Day.
And all, yeah, Boxing Day, what? They're having all their servants over for dinner? No, thank you.
Going with the Jeffers. They get it
that's
done
smart.
Right.
Jim and Mac Jeffers, that's going to have a beautiful Christmas. My number one, you know, go back to that that thing we were talking about earlier with the food. What are you eating at Christmas? Oh, God. Are we doing like ham and turkey, the same shit I ate at Thanksgiving?
I hate worrying.
You got stuffing going on?
I hate worrying about what I'm going to eat.
Yeah.
I want to just be like, it's going to be good.
I'd like that nice Guerrero, fucking switch it up, get some of that Mexican food in there. I'd also like to do a nice Italian Christmas. You know you go to a nice Italian family, they're going to have... lots of pastas going on. They're going to have lots of meatballs going on. So
they do
much
a steak.
Sauce.
They do a steak.
Excuse me. All that shit going on. It's going to be delicious. Maybe some of the old like classics, but still just like some grandma's going to be somewhere making up the most delicious Italian food you've
Indeed.
Ever ate.
Indeed.
And that's one of the many reasons why my number one is I got to do Christmas at the Poffos.
Spent a lot of time wrestling with that one myself.
Oh, man. Brother. Angelo Poffo. I'm going to tell you right now, famous in the business. In the business of cheapskates, he is famous for being the greatest cheapskate. So you know you're just drinking fucking tall boys and Beam the whole day.
Oh, all day.
What's going on.
Unless you're bringing it.
You don't got to buy a present for everybody because they're doing one of those white rhinos or white elephants or
white
whatever
elephant,
the fuck.
Yep.
And you know
Yankee
that...
swap.
You know that they're fucking, it's like a $10 maximum. $10 that's all they're doing.
That's
like,
it.
Yeah. All you,
don't
you gotta
show,
show
off.
Up with
don't show
one
off.
One $10 present. That's gonna be it. That's all you're gonna need. That's fine. Cheap booze. I don't gotta fucking buy presents. Good for me. Randy. Can you imagine Randy Savage pacing back and forth, worried about that turkey getting too dry as it's cooking?
I'm worried, Mom.
Huh?
You've been chicken it.
When's the last time we basted it?
Easter.
Been thinking about this turkey. I don't want any dry white meat. We need to get in there some of those succulent juices.
I gotta remember to take out the bag of organs.
Oh, we don't want that bag in there still. Gonna be making soup stock tomorrow.
Untie that bag. Dang it!
You know who's gonna be there? Elizabeth.
Elizabeth?
He's gonna be hovering over her, making sure she's not drinking too many Chardonnays. Elizabeth has too many Chardonnays, gets too tipsy. She's going to be flirting with one of the cousins at this pop-up
Christmas
hell
yeah.
Man. He's going to have to dig his fingers into her triceps and drag her into the next room.
Seen him do it a million
Elizabeth,
times.
Get your purse. We're leaving. Christmas is over. You've ruined Christmas.
Christmas is over.
Even if the whole family wasn't there, man, just Christmas with a macho man is one of my dreams. But you factor in that whole family. You know what you're getting.
Leaping Lanny.
You're getting elaborate, prepared, lengthy, rhyming, pre-dinner grace from Lanny Poffo. This man's standing at the foot of the table. Yep.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen.
I would like to
Before we partake in this delicious meal, I have a few words that I would like to say on this Christmas day.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be, and you know, like...
Rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub. That's just a joke, Randy. Don't start eating yet.
You know, before he shows up, like, everybody's going to be all abuzz. Like, who's Lanny going to show up with this year? Like, is he bringing anybody to Christmas?
Do you think he's bringing his friend Mark again?
Do you think he's bringing anybody to Christmas? I hope he brings a nice girl to Christmas.
You think he's bringing his roommate Mark again?
Wouldn't it be so sweet if he just showed up with a nice girl? I've really been...
he'll probably bring his roommate Mark again.
It'd be nice if he could settle down. And I just think he's such a cute boy, and he's so talented.
Ooh, Mark's a real nice guy, though.
Someday he should... He should just settle down with a nice girl. I think it would be good for him. It would be good for him on this Christmas day. Christmas at the Poffo.
It's a nice time.
That's my number one pick.
Yeah, it's a good
Eating
one.
Eating spaghetti.
With the Poffos?
Randy's doing blow in the bathroom.
Yeah, oh hell yeah.
I do, like, hey Randy, like, you know, before they wheel out dinner, how about we go do a few lines in the bathroom? What do you think, man? Like,
I noticed...
I want to get jacked up.
Hey, Randy, I noticed your parents have a real nice glass coffee table in the downstairs basement.
Yes.
Maybe we should go bang rails off of it.
Yeah.
Santa's not watching.
Couple of little Christmas snow.
Yeah, little snow. It's going to be a white Christmas, Randy. You know, the presents are already here. Santa's not going to remember this next year. Let's have a white Christmas.
These are all good picks.
These are all great picks, man. I want to wrestle in Christmas so bad. So bad.
The worst way.
But we can't all have wrestling Christmases. We got to have our own normal, just regular person Christmases. So that's what we're going to be doing next week. Red alert. Next week's Christmas break. No podcast. No podcasting.
Figure it out for yourself.
Take it easy. You know, sit back. Drink some boozy nog. Raid that stocking, motherfucker. Get in there. There's going to be some tasty treats. I know it. Midnight Mass. You going to Midnight Mass? Why not? You could show up drunk.
Whatever you want.
They're going to give you more wine when you're there, from what I understand. I'm not a religious person. I only know what they do in the movies.
Maybe sit around, turn on the network. Watch an old In Your House that you love so much.
Oh, yeah, sure. Fire up a little In Your House Beware of the Dog on Christmas Eve.
Ooh.
That's a nice way to spend Christmas Eve.
It could be good.
I think that was one.
I don't know.
I'm not going to be watching any In Your Houses on Christmas.
No?
That's ridiculous.
Well, you're a WCW man for the holidays.
That's true. I'm going to be watching Home Alone and Die Hard like a fucking normal person who's not too hipster to watch the holiday classics.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Maybe some Gremlins.
Which Starcade are you watching?
I will probably be watching The Gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, that's a good Starcade.
Mostly just when I say watching it, watching the photo, you know, galleries on the internet of
naked
juggalettes from the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Hell yeah.
That's what I'll be doing most of Christmas Eve, I'm sure.
That sounds nice.
I hope that you all have a marvelous Christmas.
What
and
comes?
You see lots of naked juggalettes.
What comes after Christmas?
After that is the new year, man.
Oh, yeah, new year.
New
you
year.
Say? New
and
year.
And we have got a amazing thing that we're instituting. I mean, it's going to blow your hair back. We said it last week. We're sick of this shit. We're sick of this 1985, 1986 boring-ass wrestling. In this new year, we're doing a new year. New year, new year.
New year.
Time traveling to 1988. 30 years ago. We're going to be in 2018 talking about 1988.
Merry Christmas, motherfuckers.
So, motherfuckers, when we come back, that's going to be on January 4th, 2018. We're going to be talking about the World Championship Wrestling that aired on January 2nd. 1988.
That's huge.
When we come back that next week, that's going to be the 11th of January, 2018. What are we talking about? Another big event that aired that exact same goddamn night, January 2nd, 1988. They had a Saturday night's main event.
Oh,
it was a big night for wrestling.
Man, oh man, oh Shevitz.
We got our next 3 weeks planned out, people. So, you know, fire up that network over the Christmas holidays.
Get ready.
Watch this 1988
Catch
shit. Up. Get into 1988 with us. It's a great year. It's a year that, you know, I feel is going to treat us much better than these boring years we've already been talking about. And, you know, new year, new year. Baby Oil and Blow is going to new places. We're seeing new things.
You're
going to
have the warriors floating through the veins.
Yeah. Right now, I got all those Christmas warriors floating through my veins. I'm just going to get drunk tonight.
That's
How about
cool.
you, brother?
I got to work tomorrow.
I think we're going to get drunk tonight. And I'm just going to show up to work drunk.
That's all right. I'll end up in the same place regardless.
Perfect.
So, for old Santa Nate.
Yep. Old Saint Nate.
And Big O on a Shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Big O on a Shelf.
That's
like
you.
That's nice. Merry Christmas.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Sharukin, like you said.
Mm-hmm. We're saying Merry Christmas again, though.
Oh, that's it.
I was tossing you people a bone. I'm sick of not saying Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's what it means.
I'm not going to feel uncomfortable in my own house when I celebrate Christmas.
Or the Poffo house.
Sick of this war on Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.
Ba, 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 ba.
From Baby Oil and Blue.